It's a long time to be on this road.
The sooner we get to Bethlehem, the better.
I'm sorry I'm slowing us down. I could try riding again for a little bit.
Oh, don't rush. Don't mistake me. I want to get to Bethlehem for your sake, so that you may rest. But we will go at your pace, of course. I have no wish to rush you.
Or rush him?
Definitely not.
It's been a long road to get here.
From Nazareth?
Not the actual road, Joseph. I mean, these long 9 months to bring us here, just outside of Bethlehem, and ready to...
Don't even say it. You must hold off until we get into town, at least.
Ah, the thought of giving birth in a dirty inn troubles me. It is no place for labor. I'd rather be home. What?
Nothing.
You had that look on your face. What aren't you telling me?
It's nothing you need to worry about.
Joseph, tell me.
The census is bringing a lot of people to Bethlehem.
And?
And probably, maybe...
We won't get a room? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I have no way of knowing, but the sooner that we...
So what? Shall I give birth in the street? On the back of that mule?
God will provide something. If not a room, then...
Perhaps a pigsty? Yes, wouldn't that be perfect?
Mary.
I can see why you didn't want to tell me.
You do get worked up from time to time.
Can you blame me?
Blame? Nah. It's one of the things I love about you.
Is that right?
You have spirit. You have heart. Few women could handle this the way that you have.
I must admit, it hasn't been easy.
Tell me again what the angel said.
Gabriel?
Yeah.
I've told you that many times.
But I'd like to hear it again.
You're like a child, Joseph. Fine. I was in my father's house getting things ready for dinner. I saw a bright flash like a roaring fire with this radiating heat which seemed to burn my face. Suddenly, I was in the presence of an angel. He said, "Greetings, you who is highly favored. The Lord is with you." Which was troubling. What kind of greeting is that? But Gabriel the angel was very perceptive, and he told me not to be afraid. He said I'd found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He said, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.
And you should ask how this could be since you're a virgin.
I thought you asked me to tell this story.
Sorry.
But yes, that's what I asked, and the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Then he spoke about my cousin Elizabeth and her child. He said that no word from God will ever fail.
I love that part. No word of God will ever fail. And you answered.
What could I answer? God saw fit to send me an angel. Me. I said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled.
And then he left.
Then he left.
Sometimes I wish God would have sent angels to our families.
It would have made things easier. Easier, not easy.
I didn't ask to be put in this situation.
I didn't either. We were chosen, Joseph. Chosen by God for this.
Chosen? What did he choose? A simple carpenter? A girl? A couple of kids with no money? No resources?
It's God's plan, Joseph.
And it's a good thing, too. If it were anyone else's, I should think that the whole situation would be utterly hopeless.
Joseph.
I mean it.
Hopeless? You question God's plan?
I'm just saying I don't see it. We've very little money traveling by ourselves.
God chose us for a reason, Joseph.
Yeah, but why? Why us? Did you ever think about that, Mary? Why did he choose us specifically?
What do you mean?
Why couldn't it have been someone else? Someone more properly equipped for this sort of thing? And why now? Why in the middle of this census?
Listen to you. Do you think we're the first to be first to ask that question? Do you think Moses felt that he was the best equipped to lead our people from slavery? Do you think Elijah felt like he was the best person to prophesy against the idols of Baal? Or that David was the best warrior to face Goliath? God chooses who he chooses.
Yeah, but those men are heroes of our people. Who else could have done those things but them?
Only in hindsight, Joseph. Only after the fact, it is obvious why God chose those men.
And so, what are we left to do? Hope?
Hope is God. God in his wisdom and his plan. Hope that God is with us.
You know, that's what the angels said they would call him, Emmanuel.
God with us.
No word of God will ever fail, yeah. It's almost too fantastic to believe. This little guy is God with us. Just us. Little Joseph and Mary of Nazareth.
And that, my husband, is why God chose us.
Come, dear wife. We've tarried long enough.
Perhaps there's room yet left in Bethlehem?
Yes, perhaps. It seems strange, doesn't it?
What's that?
The Son of God. He's going to be born sometime soon, perhaps tonight. And we'll be in the sleepy town of Bethlehem. How will anyone know he was born? Hope. Mary and Joseph hoped in God. They trusted God. God chose Mary, a virgin, to be the mother of Jesus Christ. He chose Joseph to raise Jesus as his earthly father together with Mary. Quite possibly some of you here tonight are pursuing the same thing as Mary and Joseph. Hope in God. Hope in his wisdom and his plan. Hope that God is with you. What you desire this Christmas is a little bit of hope in your world right now. I want it too. Each of us, we're traveling down our own road to Bethlehem, if you will. We're seeking our hope, hoping to find joy in the current season of life. Well, friends, you're in the right place because God is here. The Bible says, whenever two or more are gathered in his name, he is with us. So Jesus is here. Hope is here. Joy is here. Salvation is here. The birth of Jesus, our source of hope, just as predicted by the writers of the Old Testament, proves that God fulfills his promises. But it reminds us that he's going to do that stuff in his plan, in his timing and design. It was an angel who first was the one to utter the message of Jesus' birth. Recorded in Luke 2, 10 and 11, the angel said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And it's a message spoken to none other than shepherds tending to their flock on the countryside. Just how prestigious was the duties of shepherds? And just how respected were they among the people of their day? Well, Genesis actually tells us the answer to that question. Because when Joseph rose to a seat of power in Egypt, he gave his brothers, who were shepherds, he gave them some advice on how they can be accepted. Joseph's advice is in Genesis chapter 46, verses 33 and 34. He says this. He said, when Pharaoh calls you in and asks, what is your occupation? You should answer, your servants have tended livestock from your boyhood, just as our fathers did. Then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. All shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. Being a shepherd was one of those occupations that really no one desired to do. Life as a shepherd meant tired legs, it meant flat feet, it meant long days and long nights and a lot of unpleasant aromas. Dr. David Jeremiah points out the way in which God operates is in his design. and it often bears little resemblance to how you and I might expect. He wrote this, he said, God took David and made a shepherd into a king. And in Jesus, he made a king into a sacrificial lamb. God chose Bethlehem, not Rome, not Athens, not even Jerusalem. He chose little Israel, little Bethlehem. He chose a downtrodden country that had nearly forgotten its birthright. And he chose peasants for parents. Then when the blessed event occurred on that night in Bethlehem, who received an invitation to greet them, newborn king? The world's emperors? Priests and prophets? Soldiers and scholars? Of course, we know the answer is none of those people. God chose to proclaim Jesus' birth first to shepherds, perhaps the lowliest of individuals in that social culture, whose names are not even anywhere in Scripture. And not only did the angel proclaim their birth, he invited them to go and see. In Luke 2:12, he said, and you will recognize him by this sign. Well, expecting them to go. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Imagine the wonder of that evening, the splendor, as these men accepted their one-of-a-kind invitation. A front row seat. The first human beings to see Jesus other than Joseph and Mary. They were present to experience a moment in history that we as Christians have been celebrating my whole life, and Christians ever since that day have celebrated. That night, no doubt, changed everything for the lives of those shepherds. Luke says in Luke 2:20, they went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angels had told them. Seeing baby Jesus, Scripture says that the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child in verse 17 and 18 of Luke 2. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Hosts of angels saying, glory to God and peace on earth. Shepherds saw baby Jesus, then left glorifying God, praising him. The Bethlehem stable, it was filled with joy. The time had come and God was moving to fulfill his promise by sending the world, including you and I, a savior. Hope arrived. The Magi would later come to present the newborn king, Jesus, with gifts. While others who came to worship him likely had no gift. The shepherds had no gift. Nothing to offer other than their humility. Nothing to offer than their expression of joy at the birth of their Savior. Probably joy like the little drummer boy. I can imagine when the angels were singing to the shepherds. I don't know, maybe there were drums in the background. But that had to be the kind of night that was going on when Jesus was born. It wasn't some calm experience. It wasn't some harpy on the cloud thing. There was excitement in the air. Jesus had been born. With Jesus' birth, God's rescue plan that people were waiting for thousands and thousands of years commenced in a very real and very visible way. He stepped down from his throne. He took on flesh and he lived like you and me. The only difference is he didn't sin. Jesus was the perfect sacrificial lamb and he atoned for all of our sin, past, present, and future. He provided something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves, the offer of salvation for anyone who places their faith. For those of us who have already given our life to Christ, then you and I have within us every bit, every ounce, every morsel, more like every mountain of dirt of hope and joy. The angels and the shepherds had that first Christmas. Yeah, we weren't there, but we have every reason to be just as excited as they are because we have the gift of Christmas in us. So whatever you're facing in life, God wants to rescue from that circumstance. He wants to intervene in your life and be just as big as that night in Bethlehem to get you out of that circumstance, to bring you back to that hope and joy that you're looking for this Christmas, but not really just this Christmas. He wants to do it every day of your life. He wants to fill you with hope and joy every day. If you've not placed your faith in Christ, you've not asked him to be your Savior, then with all sincerity, I gotta ask, why not? Whatever you're searching for, if it's love, if it's joy, if it's hope, it's acceptance, it's forgiveness, it's peace, honestly and truthfully, it can only be found through a relationship with Jesus. This year, don't let Satan steal or twist the true meaning of Christmas from what you know to be true. Yeah, it came without ribbons, it came without bows, it came without packages, boxes, or bags, but there is no perhaps, as the words of Dr. Seuss suggest, as the Grinch reflects on the meaning of Christmas. It's the truth. Christmas does not come from a store. The story of Christmas is infinitely more. Christ came to earth for you. And the story of Christmas begins with that baby swaddling in a manger. And it culminates with the greatest gift ever given. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, "For the joy set before him," speaking of Christ, "he endured the cross, scorning its shame." God loves you so much that he subjected himself to the most horrific death imaginable because he wants a relationship with you. So if you want to accept Jesus, then just tell him. In your heart, just tell him so. "I need you. I know I've sinned. And despite all that, you came through Bethlehem on a mission for me. I believe who you are. I believe you died for me. And I want you to be my joy, my hope." That's all you got to do. Just tell him. Today, Bethlehem looks quite a bit different than it did on that starry night, if you've watched the news at all. Current events have resulted in a significant amount of turmoil in that region. Piles of rubble and stone resulting from the damage that's incurred and is still going on. And it's incredibly sad what is happening. But that doesn't mean God isn't there. It doesn't mean that joy, peace, and salvation is not possible either. I read an article this last week. One of the pastors of a Lutheran church in Bethlehem said this. He said, "I see God in this rubble," he said. Friends, you and I have a lot of rubble too. Just as much as when we are basking in the sunlight on the beach or traveling on a mountaintop, God is with us in all circumstances. So I don't know what hope you're looking for. I don't know what joy you're looking for. Whatever it is, God is in that circumstance. He's there. He invites all who are faithful to come into his presence. He wants to bring you what you're looking for this Christmas, if you're looking for it. And if you've already found it, he wants you to stay there the whole year. As the worship team steps forward, let's present our voices to Jesus in joyous worship. For he is the King of Kings. He's the source of our eternal hope, our never-ending joy, and our certain salvation. As we stand, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.